This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
All righty. Can y'all hear me? Say amen. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 5. I'm a little nervous. I'm usually not nervous to preach, but man, I'm nervous this time, so y'all pray for me. John, I loved what you had to say about what Jesus did for us. You reminded me exactly, because I tend to forget. I have a tendency to forget and go on with my life and just get so busy and so caught up that I tend to forget about the holes. I tend to forget about what Jesus has done for me. I get so caught up in my life, and because of what Jesus did for me, because of that, this is why I want to do what I'm about to preach on. I've titled my sermon, The Kingdom Influence. We are called to an influence as Christians. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Father, Lord, I come to you, God. I need your help right now. Lord, get me out of the way. Fill me with your spirit and anoint my tongue and anoint the people that are listening to me, God. Lord, I pray you sow your word deep in our hearts, Lord, and help us live what we preach and what we say. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So when I say the salt of the earth, this is a very popular and well-known piece of scripture, but what does the salt of the earth actually mean? When it says salt, back then, they used to use salt to preserve things. Salt was a mineral like no other mineral there was. It's different. It's completely separate than what anything else is. When it says that, a salt, when you put it on, say you want to put it on a piece of meat, it is literally put there to prevent rotting and decay. That's what we as Christians are called to do to this world. Let me put it to you this way. I've been at work before in an old job that I used to work at, and they know I'm a Christian. They know I love the Lord. They know I like to preach. And when I walk up to work and they're cussing like sailors and they're using my God's name in vain, and as soon as I walk up there and I hear them cussing, I don't have to say a word. They say, I'm sorry, I know you're a Christian. I'm sorry, I'll know. That is the salt, preventing the evil from manifesting into more decay. The evil is so powerful, we are no match for it. We have to be salt in this world, or this world is going to take our children, take us further and further away. But first, the Lord's kind of pricking my heart to say this. If you want to be salt, you've got to be a Christian. So many people are caught up in this easy believism, caught up in this stuff that it's, if you go to church every now and then, if you say a prayer, let me tell you something. The Bible doesn't say one time, I'm about to stomp on somebody's theology in here. The Bible doesn't say one time that if, look back on your life and think of a prayer you said. Now, I get that. I do, because I remember, I can look back and I can remember a time that I said a prayer. And you should if you remember that. But what the Bible does say is to look at your life today. The Bible says to look at your life today and see what fruits are you bearing. Or do you hunger and do you thirst after righteousness? Are you ready to put away your sin? Are you still ready to live after the flesh? If you're not ready to put away your sin, if you're not, the Bible says you're a new creature. All things are passed away. If you're not chasing after the righteousness of God, then I would question. I have every right as a Christian to question that. The Bible says to look at your life today. If you're not a Christian, I urge you, please, what John talked about, he did it for you. So take that seriously. The first thing in becoming a better influence in our kingdom I want to talk about is what we must do is examine ourselves. What junk in your life is preventing you from showing the light that we're called to? What sin in your life has got you so bottled up that you don't, that you could care less about living the Christian? Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, there's thousands of people dropping off in hell. Every day. Every day, boom, somebody's in hell. There's another person in hell. Guess what? Another person's in hell. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do as Christians? We are called. It's not a suggestion. It is a command to be the light of the world, to be a city set up on a hill. We have to get our burdens back, and we have to examine what sin is keeping us from that. I love how I've been a Baptist long enough. One of my main things is pride. I'd be too proud to walk up to one of my friends that I know is lost. Be too prideful to go up and say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? One of the biggest things, I went to a big public school and I went to college as well in Chattanooga. And the biggest thing in my age group is that I don't want to step foot in a church because they're hypocritical and they're snobs. We as the church are so prideful in what we do. I am guilty of this. I'm talking to myself here. We are so proud when a sinner walks into our church, we want to be the better sinner. We are the better Christian. I heard my Sunday school teacher say this morning, and it was perfect. We want to put ourselves beside a bigger sinner to make ourselves look better instead of accepting them and loving the sinners to what we're called to. The second thing I want to, you got to examine yourself, and then we've got to guard our hearts. We've got to be sensitive to what's going on. The adversary is out there literally trying to seek and destroy you. As a Christian, he wants you so far out of the will of God, he wants you to do anything but serve the Lord. That's all he cares about, and he's wanting to do whatever he can. I want to talk about our kids for a second. I know I'm not a parent, and I have no ground to stand on and tell you how to parent, but I can tell you one thing is, I was a child not long ago, and I want to tell you the influence that my daddy and my mama had on me. When sin comes knocking on your house at home's door, where's the daddies and the mothers that's going to stand at the heart of their child and prevent them from getting caught up before it's too late? I can tell you this as a child because most of the time you're afraid of hurting your kids' feelings, but now that I'm older and now that I see, I am thankful I had a daddy that would beat the brakes off of me. I am thankful I had a daddy that would discipline me and direct me. It developed a hunger and a thirst for righteousness at a young and early age. Sin, if you let Hollywood and everything is so chalked up with sin now, you go and watch a movie, it's taking God's name in vain. There's sex, there's everything all over. The more and more your child is watching that stuff, the more and more you as an adult is watching that stuff, the more and more calloused and easier it's going to be for you to participate in that. When I go and run on the rocks, when I first start doing it, golly bum, it hurts. But the more, if I do it every day and every day and every day, my feet's going to get calloused. I can run on them rocks as hard as I can. The same thing is with sin. The same thing, if you don't guard your heart, if you're around it, the more and more you tolerate it and you just let it creep in and creep in, it will consume you. It will take over your life. I know because I have lived it. The third thing I want to talk about is first you got to examine yourself, guard your hearts, and then if you want to be an effective influence on people, we've got to let God lead. We've got to let go and let God. I give a little testimony about how I tried witnessing to somebody who I love dearly on my own power. I wanted to do the right thing, and I probably said the right stuff. But when I went up to him and I said, buddy, let me tell you about Jesus. We'd go hunting together, and every time we'd go hunting, I wanted to talk about the Lord. I wanted to talk about it, but I was in my own. I didn't let the Holy Spirit lead me into this situation. I didn't let the Lord guide me and lead me into this. And so therefore, my words, which may have been right, were falling on a heart of stone. They were falling on deaf ears that were not ready. But then I prayed, and I said, okay, God, you're trying to show me something here. Well, the next thing I know, I'm praying about it. An opportunity comes up for somebody else, my father-in-law, my daddy, to go witness to him. When I heard that, it was like the Holy Spirit was like, the light's green. Go get it. When the Holy Spirit is leading you to do something, you will know it. Let me tell you how good my God is. When the Holy Spirit said, go, and my father-in-law and my daddy went to this man's house, he didn't just save my best friend, he saved his daddy too. The Lord is good. And when the Lord says, go, we got to do it. But we have got to let go and let God do it. I want to show you something in the Bible. In Romans chapter 1, how Paul let the Lord guide his situation. Romans 1 verse 10, I'll read it to you real quick. Just pay attention and listen to this. I love the Word of God because it's got so many hidden secrets. Not secrets, but you know what I mean. Making a request, if by any means now, at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. God, what Paul is saying is, hey, I want to come to Rome. I want to come and have a good journey so I can preach to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both wise and to the unwise. So much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. Paul had what was good at heart. Paul wanted to go to Rome, and he wanted to preach to them. But God led him different. And you know what? If Paul would have went to Rome like he wanted to in his heart, there probably would have been people get saved. But because Paul let God lead him and let his circumstances direct him otherwise, we now have the book of Romans. Think about that. If Paul was allowed to go to Rome, he would have never had to write the letter to Rome. And now we have one of the most powerful books in the entire Bible because Paul listened, because Paul let go. My last point is, be you. If you want to be influential, that matters to the kingdom, be you. Think about how cool is this. God created one Trey Holland. God created one David Sampson. One David Sampson. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of where you've been. God can use your past just like he's using mine. I'll be real honest with you. I came from a life of addiction as a younger person. But now that I'm through that, I can stand in front of a crowd of people and say that I cried unto the Lord, that he picked me up out of that miry clay, that he set my feet upon a rock, that he established my goings. I can stand in front of people, in front of other addicts, in front of other people that struggle with the same things that I have, and say that God picked me up. See, God wants to use what you can't do naturally on your own to show his supernatural power manifest in your life. He wants to do that for you, and he can. One of my favorite pictures in the Bible is David and the stones. It's such a good picture of me and God picking me to use me. You see, over time, this water ran over these stones and made them into and molded them into it and gave this stone a purpose. And then God picked that stone and then propelled it to its destiny. He purposed it, he picked it, and he propelled it. Let God purpose, pick you, and propel you to what you're called to. I'll close by kind of tattling on myself. The reason this message is so late on my heart is because about 4 or 5 months ago, I had a friend I went to school with. I took him to my youth group in church. I took him. He was a good friend of mine. He was on my wrestling team in high school. And at the time, I was too busy and too concerned with my own selfish desires. I was too busy and too concerned about being on the cool side of things. Young people, listen to me here, because I want you to learn, hear something from me and learn from my mistake. Well, about 4 or 5 months ago, I got the phone call that he overdosed and died. He left a little girl and his wife. And I was on my way back from Gatlinburg at the Power of One conference, and I got this news, and me and my wife were on our way home, and I wept the whole way home because I had influence over him, and I didn't use it. I had influence over him, and I used it in the wrong way. And now one day, I'm going to have to watch him. I'm going to have to watch him in hell, and he's going to say, Trey, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me about the good news? Why didn't you tell me I could be saved out of my addiction? Why didn't you tell me that Jesus is the way? And now I have to live with that. How many people are in your family that you love that are on their way to hell that you haven't been the right influence around? How many people are at your work, at your school, that we know are going to hell and we are too busy, too proud to do something about it? I pray God gets a hold of this church. I pray God gets a hold of me and uses everybody under the sound of my voice. Heavenly Father, God, you sure have been good to us. God, you describe what I have as our reasonable service. Lord, I pray you use us. Use this church. Give us a burden for the lost souls. Renew in us our passions for people. I pray you use us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.